Name of the one undivided God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There are many times when I find myself with a plan and an objective or two things to accomplish in the day, and all of a sudden I'm lucky to get one done because circumstances keep me from doing what I want to do. It might be something as simple as a car not realizing that the light turns green, and by the time they finally do, it's too late for two cars to go through. There are certain moments when I find myself frustrated with things like that, and yet my frustration is looking at my own immediate problems and not the possibilities around me. And that oftentimes when I am delayed, distracted, or things come along, they are in fact the blessings given by God. In fact, I oftentimes will give thanks for the things I can touch and see and the people I know and for those things that are around me, but the things that I have no knowledge of, I rarely give thanks for. The number of times that God has kept me from could be an accident or causing an accident because of my haste. Things that have been delayed because of circumstances have in fact opened doors that I never could have imagined opening before. So in my frustration and wanting things to be my way, I'm in fact realizing that I'm missing the blessings that are before me, blessings that I will never fully know about. Not only are there blessings before me that I have no knowledge of and will never know, there are blessings behind me that I have no knowledge of or I have some awareness of, but I don't really and can never really understand them. I grew up as a little boy watching various war movies of World War II, The Longest Day, and the various things. We'd be out in the backyard playing various battle scenes with the kids and our sticks and whatever we had. But in my mind, this was the myths and stories of World War II. Now, what I heard and read were the stories of Hollywood. I was not there. I've been hearing just bits and glimmers of what the people who were there enduring horrific situations. It was another story altogether. I'm still amazed. Barbara and Gordon Crampton, Barbara was a deacon for many years, and her husband ushered faithfully every 8 o'clock service, year in and year out. And right before they moved down to Georgia, I was talking to him and found out he was one of the clerks at the Nuremberg trial. And I go, what? Tell me more. And he just had nothing to say. It was just something that he had blocked out in his mind and said, I can't go back there. This whole myth of this glorious war had really, in fact, had deep scars on many, many people's lives. The cost that they gave in the midst of that journey is, I can never fully grasp that. I kind of hear stories of things, but really, in fact, what I hear are just the stories, and I can't really understand the cost that was given. This last week, with all the things that were going on, I heard Wolf Blitzer, one of the reporters, commenting about how, you know, we don't really understand things fully. He said, my parents survived the Holocaust, and they came to the United States after the war and then was very thankful as an immigrant. And I'm sitting here looking at this guy who I sometimes agree with or not and understanding his story from a completely different perspective. There are stories in the peoples of our lives that we don't know. We just have no clue. Somebody may show up at church for the first time and only know so much about me from what they see from today and nothing about my past, or likewise I with you. Tomorrow, the bishop wants to come and meet with me as one of the senior pastors of the diocese to kind of get the wisdom or whatever it is that he thinks I have. But he'll walk in the doors and he'll see this church as if it was always this way, and this carpet as if it's always been here, and all these kind of various things. This is what St. John's has always been. There's a lot of story to this building and how it's evolved over the year, and the people that are here, as if this is the congregation that's always been here. There have been people here doing things year in and year out that I can have no knowledge of. I will get glimmers of bits and pieces, but they're still part of the story. They're woven into the pews and the air and the prayers in which we breathe in this place. There are blessings that are so deep in the history of who we are. Even more so are the stories that we hear in the gospel today. The story of the crucifixion, the stories of Jesus, this wonderful blonde hair, long hair guy sitting there holding a sheep with these little kids all around him and everybody's happy. And I mean, these are the stories we have in the pictures of nurseries. This is the pictures we have and the stories we hear, and oh yeah, that happened a long time ago. And yet, the power and the grace and the sacrifice of God in the purpose of love was far greater than I could and ever will know. There is an awareness, well, whatever we do, God will forgive us. Anything that, you know, this God will always love us and be there for us. This is the ever-loving God. And by hearing it over and over again, it becomes kind of cheap. It becomes kind of simple. It becomes very ever-present, always there, like a grandmother who's always going to be there for you. But in fact, the cost of the love of God is deeper than anything we could ever imagine. The sacrifice of all power, all that is and all that was, and somehow being formed into the word itself of all of life, the cosmic energy to be formed into an experience of life on this planet as we know it, to somehow sacrifice all for the sake of a hope and a potential of a relationship, to begin a relationship that would in fact be a cost so great that would continue year and year after year after year. Like the decision of the water to flow through the southwest of this country, this is a course, and this little river that's going to flow year in and year out through the millennium will cause the Grand Canyon to emerge. So too, the love of God, once committed into our world, continues to erode our bitterness and our hatred and offer a potential of a vista that we could never see before if we open our eyes and somehow touch things that I never could have comprehended before. Over the course of my life, I am slowly becoming more aware of things that my limited white straight male perspective has given me, and I have become a little bit more glimmers and from my male perspective that women see things differently sometimes and they view things from a different perspective, and I'm making slow progress and seeing that there's a whole other world as a straight person, what a gay person has to go through. I'm becoming aware, I mean, there's a lot of privilege in my life that I'm slowly becoming aware of, and hopefully continuing to be open and aware of how another person perceives and understands and experiences. I, as a white person coming into a small town in Maine, think, wow, this is what a wonderful, I'm home again. If I'm black, I might not feel as safe. I mean, just to understand how a perception can be different. Perception, and yet God continues to work this love. The cost of the cross was one that began just as the river was set, that God would continue to come into our world to somehow open our limited lives to something that would defy physics, chemistry, and all that we ever might know. All, and even more importantly, that might defy and transform and shatter our own preconceived knowledge and awareness. That somehow the majesty of God might break in. There are things to be thankful for that we will never see. There are things that we are thankful for, that we need to be thankful for, that we will never fully understand, but only know because of the love of others that have brought us to this place. And there is a thankfulness that transforms our world in the midst of frustration and anxiety and the potential of disaster. There is a thankfulness that cracks the core of our being, and in that opens a light to break forth. We are on a turning point. This is the end of the Pentecost season, the six or so months of green, and now we're kind of moving to the quick little flash of white as we then move into the season of Advent. This begins a new year next year. This is the shift and turning. And as we turn and prepare ourselves for a whole new decade, we are preparing ourselves for a whole new perception. I know that I can mistakenly sign a check, 1989, very easily, and kind of wonder when it has the blank, you know, why doesn't it say 19 in front of the year, and realize I'm caught in another era. But the grace of God opens me to laugh at myself and say, okay, that's okay. That's really okay. I do bring with me a history, but the potential of God's love opens the door with that laughter, with that openness and thanksgiving for something that is an amazing beauty, a grace, and an awareness of the cost of forgiveness itself, the cost of God's mercy that is far greater, and to cause me to take it far more seriously than simply, yes, Jesus loves me, this I know. It's for everybody. It is for everybody. It is a love that is before me. And it is a power far greater than anything I could imagine. And as the first scout that came to the Grand Canyon, if you've ever been there, you don't really know what's coming. It's just kind of a slow kind of thing. And then all of a sudden you kind of walk out of the woods and, whoa! And I can imagine the first scouts with a wagon train behind them looking out and coming back and saying, we've got a problem. We're going to have to make some big changes. In the same way, when we glimpse the glory of God, we find our soul saying, you know, I need to see things very differently. My life is transformed, and how love pierces me, it is not a simple love. It is a love that upends my whole life itself. Amen.